Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Amerigo Resources Year-End 2006 Financial Results Conference Call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Michael Kuta, Corporate Secretary. Please go ahead, Mr. Kuta.
Thank you. Good morning to those on the West Coast. Good afternoon to those in the Central Time Zone, Eastern Standard Time. Welcome to our fourth quarter and full year 2006 investor conference call. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I'd like to introduce our Chairman, Mr. Steven Dean.
Thanks, Michael. Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We have on the line, just to introduce, Michael Kuta, our Corporate Secretary and General Counsel. We have Klaas Deitler, President. We have Aurora Davidson, our CFO, and myself, Steven Dean, Chairman. It's with great pleasure that we reported yesterday our net earnings after tax for the 2006 calendar year, earnings of $39.2 million, substantially higher than the $17.99 million in 2005, primarily due to higher copper prices, which also offset lower production during the year of both copper and moly, but also supplemented by a profit from the sale of a strategic investment. Despite the production restrictions that we will comment on later by El Teniente, which is our primary source of feed material, 2006 is a record earnings year for Amerigo. That earnings level, it represents $0.42 per share in comparison to $0.23 per share in 2005. Cash flow during the year was $26.6 million or $0.29 a share in 2006 compared to $21.8 million or $0.28 per share in 2005. Production was lower in 2006 with 24.67 million pounds of copper and 674,000 pounds of moly. As most of us would understand, that lower production of both moly and copper was due to the restrictions on tailings flow and also various temporary plant shutdowns that were imposed upon us by our partner, El Teniente. It was a rather frustrating year for management because under the circumstances, there was not a lot we could do, but we did make the most of the production that we did receive from Teniente, and we did make the most of the favorable metal prices that were prevailing during the year, and as a result, as a consequence, the record earnings. The gross copper selling price for the year was $3.33 a pound after settlement adjustments compared to the LME average for the year of $3.05. The realized copper price, that's net revenue after smelter and refinery charges and settlement adjustments, was $2.74 per pound. Cash costs were before the Teniente royalty were $1.20 compared to $0.60 in 2005. That increase was primarily caused by lower production. That's the simple equation of a relatively high percentage of fixed costs over variable costs and when our production is low as a result of the imposed restrictions and shutdowns, our costs were higher. In addition, higher smelter and refinery costs, and principally the effect of the copper price participation formula, were contributed to that higher cash cost, together with together with power, steel, and maintenance costs. So all of these things are factors that all of the latter things, I should say, are factors that that are industry wide and not just peculiar to Amerigo. Our total cost after Teniente royalty, et cetera, was $1.80 compared to 94 cents a pound. Once again, that higher cost is almost exclusively related to the higher royalty payments that we pay to Teniente, which, of course, as most of us know, are indexed to the copper price. That in lower copper price environments, that number goes down to zero at 80 cents a pound and less. And so as a result, as I said in previous conference calls, Amerigo is relatively unique in this space in that during lower copper price environments, our costs will fall. We had a fairly significant capital plant expenditure year. We spent approximately $32 million in 2006, funded almost exclusively from operating cash flow. By the end of the year, we have no debt whatsoever, and in a strong cash position with cash of approximately $26.5 million. During the year, we declared and paid two semi-annual dividends of Canadian dollars 4.5 cents per share, which were paid in 2006 with for aggregate dividend of 7.44 million Canadian dollars, U.S. dollars, I should say. Our board is scheduled to meet on February 24. And it's at that meeting that we will consider and resolve the level of the next semi-annual dividend. At this point, I'd like to invite Klaus to make some comment about our operating and production statistics, and then we would be happy to throw the call open to questions. Klaus?
Well, thank you. Well, as Stephen has already said, 2006 was operationally both a challenging and a frustrating year for us. I want to point out, however, that despite of that and despite the low copper production, our moly production increased in 2006 in comparison to 2005. Mainly, of course, because we had a full year of production, but nevertheless, we produced 675,000 pounds of moly. The frustration for us, of course, came from the point that Stephen said that we do not have a lot of influence on the operations of El Teniente. And as you know from our past press releases, during the year we had various shutdowns originating from environmental problems, which El Teniente had two structural problems in the tailings canal. And the total amount of shutdowns which we had is quite unique in the whole history of the operations of Minera Valle Central. There has never been a year with that many shutdowns. So hopefully most of that is behind us, but as you know, there is still construction ongoing on the bridge which carries the tailings across the river downstream from MVC, and that construction, which is at this moment ongoing still, and which, however, lets us produce at a certain level, will, however, require another shutdown of a few days at the end of March or the beginning of April. We hope after that that we can then not only continue to produce from the full amount of fresh tailings coming from El Teniente, but that we will then also be able to extract material from Colibris and increase the tailings flow and increase production, of course. So we hope that this new year will result in a significant increase in the production, but we are still cautious because, as I said, the construction of the bridge to increase the structural stability is still not finished. I guess Stephen also talked about the cost increases, and apart from the smelter and refinery costs, which are again completely outside the control of management, of course, and depend just on the level of copper prices, the main cost increases and significant cost increases came from energy, and as you know, more than half of our costs come from energy, and also a significant increase in steel prices, which of course has an effect on the consumption of balls in the mill, and these two cost factors, which represent about 70% of our cost, increased significantly due to the world prices of these products of steel and oil. I guess that's about all I want to say at this point with respect to operations, and we are quite happy to have your questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift up your handset and then press star 1. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time for any questions or comments. There will be a brief pause while the participant registers. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Michael Shulton from Dallas. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. Just a quick question about your moly production. I got on the call late, so I might have missed this if you already commented on it. But, you know, why was your moly production so low in the fourth quarter relative to your copper production? I look back even in the second quarter of 06, you actually had lower copper production than you did in the fourth quarter of 06, and yet your moly was over 200,000 pounds in that second quarter versus about 130,000 pounds.
Well, you of course know that ore bodies are not homogeneous, so the same, of course, also in El Teniente. There are areas in the El Teniente mine which have higher moly content and others which have lower moly content. One of the reasons for the production problems which we encountered in 2006 were, as I mentioned, the environmental problems which Altan Yinda had. These environmental problems stemmed from various factors, one from a spill which El Teniente had, but also from the change of the environmental laws in Chile, where from October 1st, 2006, the moly content in the water discharge from El Teniente's tailings has to be below 1 ppm, while before this new law, it was the limit was 2 ppm. So, because El Teniente has to lower the moly content in the water discharge, and because El Teniente has not finished building their moly destruction plant in time, they decided, obviously, to go into areas of the mine and mine ore which is low in moly content in order to decrease the soluble moly in the tailings as much as possible, and this has an effect on us because we receive a lower moly content in the tailings, and thus can only produce a lower production of moly ourselves. That certainly, in my view, will change again once they have finished their moly destruction plant, and then you know, hopefully we'll get back to normal moly production. We are at this point not 100% sure when they will finish the plant. With the last information was that it will be later this year in the fall. We have made, to the limited extent we can influence all this, we have done an independent study to find out where the moly in solution appears and where one can do something to help El Teniente to overcome this problem, even while the moly destruction plant is not ready to operate. And this study which we have done is very positive, because we can help El Teniente to solve this problem due to the fact that we now have our thickeners operating, and we can exchange the water which we receive with the tailings from El Teniente with fresh water, and that should help El Teniente. This study was just finished, and we are just now in the process of introducing this information to El Teniente, and it's difficult to say how long it will take to influence all the various people in El Teniente to accept this, but we have very strong facts, and so I'm rather hopeful that we can convince them, and that this will then result in a more normalized production of ore with respect to moly content.
Michael, that was a lengthy but complete response to your short question.
Oh, yes, it was excellent. Thank you. And then my only other thing is I just wanted to make a comment. I noted in your press release that your board is going to meet and discuss the company's dividend potentially going forward. And my firm owns about 3% of your shares, and we would strongly prefer, and we think the value delivery to shareholders is much more efficient if you examined a more aggressive share buyback program with your shares at these levels rather than being so concerned about a potential dividend raise at this point.
Okay, thank you. Noted.
Thank you. The next question is from Bart Jaworski from Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Hello.
Morning,
yeah.
Bart.
Yeah, morning.
Hi. Yeah, just a question regarding so when you get the launder back up and running to full capacity at the end of March, how quickly do you think you can get Colliers up and running, and at what rate do you think you can get it up to in the next foreseeable few months after March, the end of March?
Well, I think we can, we can step up the production from Colliers relatively fast. But the question is, whether El Teniente will give us a blank check and say, okay, now you can go for immediately for 45,000 tons. With all the environmental, I would say problems, but with all the environmental concerns which they have due to their spill, which, as you remember, was headline stories for months in the Chilean press, I would expect them to be rather cautious in stepping up the production. So I would expect them to give us the authority to take more tailings down the channel in steps rather than in one big increase.
And what would the first step be?
I would hope that it would not be less than 10,000.
Okay. Thanks for that. Can you sort of speak to the CapEx requirements over the next 12 to 24 months?
We should be down to approximately $10 million in 2007 and further down in 2008.
Okay, so most of the CapEx spending is now over with?
Right.
Okay, and lastly, Chuki, is there anything coming there in terms of moly upgrade material?
Not at this point, no.
Okay, so no change there?
If you recall, Bart, that they had their own production problems, so they didn't have surplus production. They had enough mine production. They had sufficient mine production to keep their own mill full.
Perfect. Okay, thanks very much, guys.
Thank you. The next question is from Ramon Goldie from Toronto. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. My question was for Dr. Seidler. Just a quick clarification on a point you made to a previous questioner. You said that that El Teniente had indicated to you that they would return to normal moly production and remove the moly destruction plant this fall. Is that fall Chilean time or British Columbian time?
British Columbian time.
Thank you.
Which is the same as Ontario rate.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press star one at this time for any questions or comments. The next question is from Mark Thomas from Montreal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like I've been watching the share buyback. I think you announced about 3 million shares buying back, and last I checked it was like 300,000. And I was a little bit curious when the levels were below $2 a share, why you weren't being more aggressive. One thing I keep thinking in mind is that perhaps you're looking to make other strategic investments instead, and I'm wondering what the reasoning is behind that.
As we've said in previous calls, it's a bit of a balance of both. You also have to appreciate that it's not that easy to be aggressive in your buyback, given that there are some quite strict rules that our broker has to follow in bidding in the market. For example, we can't step up. The stock has got to come to us at our bid level. And with our stock being fairly volatile at times, we're not always successful as we plan to be in our buyback. So I think you'll find. Aurora, can you tell me how much did we buy in December?
Yeah, I'll get that information for you. And, well, another thing is that we didn't have any buying activity in January because of insider trading.
That's right. You're quite right, Aurora. The other point to make is that we have some fairly strict rules consistent with the corporate governance requirements of this day and age, and that is that when we're within a month or so of releasing key information, for financial information, for example, then we're in a blackout period for all insiders, which also obviously imposes the same rules on our share buyback plan.
Stephen, in December we purchased 350,000 shares.
350,000 shares, yeah. Does that answer your question?
Okay, so are you still pursuing the same, I think it was 3 million shares approximately in the next, whatever's left of 12-month period? Is that still on the agenda?
Well, we have 2.7 left, and as the market allows, that's what we would look to do.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from William Hoff from Airfreon. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, gentlemen. Your results for the year itself, at 42 cents per share. What was the actual breakdown for the fourth quarter for earnings per share?
The fourth quarter earnings per share, you mean?
In the fourth quarter, we had almost $15 per share, $14.90.
You said dollars, you mean cents, 15
cents? Yes.
Yeah, 15 cents, sorry.
It was 15 cents per share for the fourth quarter itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's American, correct?
That is American dollars.
Okay. I like the stock. I bought it back in December. I've been recommended to a lot of people. I just can't believe that it's a $2 stock that's paying roughly 40 cents earnings per share. I know you guys feel it's undervalued. Does that concern you, the valuation of the stock itself?
No, I think it's for people like you, I think it's a buying opportunity.
Yes, very much so. In hopes of it going up greatly, exactly. I mean, I look at the three analysts, and they have it around 330 to 380 by year end. Do you think that's realistic?
Well, we can't comment for those analysts, but you know, I think from the market's perspective, and I've made this comment before, you know, the frustration for us as management in terms of the projections is that we are not in control to a large degree of our destiny. Having said that, the underlying production base and our feed source material is the largest copper deposit in the world, El Teniente. It's been going for 100 years. It's due to go for another 60 years. That is our big plus. You know, we have all the characteristics of a world-class mine as an underlying production base, but our frustration is that we don't control the management of it. And as Klaus mentioned earlier, when you have a year like we just had in 2006, which is a rare year in the 13 odd years that NVC has been operating, it's even more frustrating. And so as a result, I think one of the reasons for the stock price being lower than where the analysts project it should be is, like all markets, they want us to prove it. You know, they want us to show that we can achieve these production levels, and when that is achieved, then the market may be more prepared to sustain a higher market price and share value. I think the other aspect is that in this part of the cycle, you know, where we're at a strong metal and mining boom, you get some extreme valuations both ends of the scale, particularly where there are copper or nickel or base metal deposits which have exploration upside, and the market like seems to value what is called exploration upside higher than long-term sustainability, which is what I think we offer. And we don't spend a dollar on exploration in Amerigo. And so maybe some of the sex appeal that is valued highly in this part of the cycle is not seen to be there. Just to counter that point, however, as we have said in other conference calls, we have a very large ore body in Colihues sitting on our doorstep in 220 million tons at 0.3% copper and high moly. And then in addition to that, there are two other tailings dams further upstream between us and El Teniente, which have another 700 million tons, all up 900 million tons approximately of about 0.3%. Now, in order for Teniente, if there's a silver lining in the disruptions that we've had over the last 2006, the silver lining may well be that Teniente will want to work with us to move as much of that material down the hill to give them emergency capacity, of which they don't now have very little, so that they can accommodate any future production or operating crisis. So, we think we're in a great position. We've got 200 million and potentially 900 million of tons of material at 0.3% copper that we will sustain for a very, very long time.
One last question, if I may. I'm trying to understand that you bought Chariot Resources and sold and made $9.5 million Canadian off of that sale. Is it common practice for your company to buy other shares in other companies?
No, it was bought as we said at the time of the news release at the time of acquisition. We bought the position as a strategic position with a view to working with that company to assist in building and developing that asset. Unfortunately, we found it difficult we were allowed only on a very limited basis. A capacity to do that, and so as a consequence, we didn't want to be just a passive shareholder, and as a result, we sold and made a profit. So we got second prize rather than first prize.
Great. Well, good luck, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, operator.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation and have a great day.